The next LOS asks us to describe the steps in the portfolio management process. There are three major steps in the portfolio management process. The planning step begins with an analysis of the investor's risk tolerance, return objectives, time horizon, tax exposure, liquidity needs, income needs, and any unique circumstances of investor preferences. This analysis results in an investment policy statement, or IPS, that details the investor's investment objectives and constraints. It should also specify an objective benchmark, such as an index return, against which the success of the portfolio management process will be measured. The IPS should be updated at least every few years and any time the investor's objectives or constraints change significantly. The execution step involves an analysis of the risk and return characteristics of various asset classes to determine how funds will be allocated to the various asset types. Often, in what is referred to as a top-down analysis, a portfolio manager will examine current economic conditions and forecasts of such macroeconomic variables as GDP growth, inflation, and interest rates in order to identify the asset classes that are most attractive. The resulting portfolio is typically diversified across such asset classes as cash, fixed income securities, publicly traded equities, hedge funds, private equity, and real estate, as well as commodities and other real assets. Once the asset class allocations are determined, portfolio managers may attempt to identify the most attractive securities within the asset class. Security analysts use model valuations for securities to identify those that appear undervalued in what is termed bottom-up security analysis. The feedback step is the final step. Over time, investor circumstances will change, risk and return characteristics of asset classes will change, and the actual weights of the assets in the portfolio will change with asset prices. The portfolio manager must monitor these changes and rebalance the portfolio periodically in response, adjusting the allocations to the various asset classes back to their desired percentages. The manager must also measure portfolio performance and evaluate it relative to the return on the benchmark portfolio identified in the IPS. The next LOS requires us to describe mutual funds and compare them with other pooled investment products. Mutual funds are one form of pooled investments, which refer to a single portfolio that contains investment funds from multiple investors. Each investor owns shares representing ownership of a portion of the overall portfolio. The total net value of the assets in the fund, or pool, divided by the number of such shares issued, is referred to as the net asset value of each share. With an open-end fund, investors can buy newly issued shares at the net asset value. Newly invested cash is invested by the mutual fund managers in additional portfolio securities. Investors can redeem their shares or sell them back to the fund at net asset value as well. All mutual funds charge a fee for the ongoing management of the portfolio assets, which is expressed as a percentage of the net asset value of the fund. No-load funds do not charge upfront fees for purchasing shares or redemption fees for redeeming shares. Load funds charge either upfront fees, redemption fees, or both. Closed-end funds are professionally managed pools of investor money that do not take new investments into the fund or redeem investor shares. The shares of a closed-end fund trade on exchanges or over-the-counter like equity shares. As with open-end funds, the portfolio management firm charges ongoing management fees. Types of mutual funds include money market funds, bond funds, and stock funds. Money market funds invest in short-term debt securities and provide interest income with very low risk of changes in share value. Fund net asset values are typically set to one currency unit, but there have been instances over recent years in which the net asset value of some funds declined when the securities they held dropped dramatically in value. Funds are differentiated by the types of money market securities they purchase and their average maturities. Bond mutual funds invest in fixed income securities. They are differentiated by bond maturities, credit ratings, issuers, and types. Examples include government bond funds, tax-exempt bond funds, high-yield or lower-rated corporate bond funds, and global bond funds. A great variety of stock mutual funds are available to investors. Index funds are passively managed, that is, the portfolio is constructed to match the performance of a particular index, such as the Standard & Poor's 500 index. Actively managed funds refer to funds where the management selects individual securities with the goal of producing returns greater than those of their benchmark indexes. Annual management fees are higher for actively managed funds, and actively managed funds have higher turnover of portfolio securities, which refers to the percentage of investments that are changed during the year. This leads to greater tax liabilities compared to passively managed index funds. In addition to mutual funds, a variety of other forms of pooled investments exist. Exchange-traded funds, or ETFs, are similar to closed-end funds in that purchases and sales are made in the market rather than with the fund itself. There are important differences, however. While closed-end funds are often actively managed, ETFs are most often passively managed, that is, invested to match a particular index. With closed-end funds, the market price of shares can differ significantly from their net asset value, due to imbalances between investor supply and demand for shares at any point in time. Special redemption provisions for ETFs are designed to keep their market prices very close to their net asset values. ETFs can be sold short, purchased on margin, and traded at intraday prices, whereas open-end funds are typically sold and redeemed only daily, based on the share net asset value calculated with closing asset prices. Investors in ETFs must pay brokerage commissions when they trade, and there is a spread between the bid price at which market makers will buy shares and the ask price at which market makers will sell shares. With most ETFs, investors receive any dividend income on portfolio stocks in cash, while open-end funds offer the alternative of reinvesting dividends in additional fund shares. One final difference is that ETFs may produce less capital gains liability compared to open-end index funds. This is because investor sales of ETF shares do not require the fund to sell any securities. If an open-end fund has significant redemptions that cause it to sell appreciated portfolio shares, shareholders incur a capital gains tax liability. A separately managed account is a portfolio that is owned by a single investor and managed according to that investor's needs and preferences. No shares are issued, as the single investor owns the entire account. Hedge funds are pools of investor funds that are not regulated to the extent that mutual funds are. Hedge funds are limited in the number of investors who can invest in the fund and are often sold only to qualified investors who have a minimum amount of overall portfolio wealth. Minimum investments can be quite high, often between $250,000 and $1 million. There is a great variety of hedge fund strategies, and major hedge fund categories are based on the investment strategy that the funds pursue. Long-short funds buy securities that are expected to outperform the overall market and sell securities short that are expected to underperform the overall market. Equity market-neutral funds are long-short funds with long stock positions that are just offset in value by stocks sold short. These funds are designed to be neutral with respect to overall market movements, so that they can be profitable in both up and down markets, as long as their longs outperform their shorts. An equity hedge fund with a bias is a long-short fund dedicated to a larger long position relative to short sales, which is called a long bias, or to a greater short position relative to long positions, which is called a short bias. Event-driven funds invest in response to one-time corporate events, such as mergers and acquisitions. Fixed income arbitrage funds take long and short positions in debt securities, attempting to profit from minor mispricings while minimizing the effects of interest rate changes on portfolio values. convertible bond arbitrage funds, take long and short positions in convertible bonds and the equity shares they can be converted into in order to profit from a relative mispricing between the two. Global macro funds speculate on changes in international interest rates and currency exchange rates, often using derivative securities and a great amount of leverage. Buyout funds, or private equity funds, typically buy entire public companies and take them private, which means their shares no longer trade. The purchase of the companies is often funded with a significant increase in the firm's debt in what is called a leveraged buyout. The fund attempts to reorganize the firm to increase its cash flow, pay down its debt, increase the value of its equity, and then sell the restructured firm or its parts in a public offering or to another company over a fairly short time horizon of 3 to 5 years. Venture capital funds typically invest in companies in their startup phase with the intent to grow them into valuable companies that can be sold publicly via an initial public offering or sold to an established firm. Both buyout funds and venture capital funds are very involved in the management of their portfolio companies and often have expertise in the industries on which they focus.